Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's 4 minutes past seven. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Dill and Caitlin. Caitlin, how are you, my sweets? Are you there now?
We're on air now. Dill, I think I'm doing a little bit better than you. I'm so sorry to hear that you've got a sore throat. I was driving in and I could hear you and you just didn't sound like the Dill I know.
I know. Someone actually tweeted in when I was doing the Chappelle Power on the weekend and they were like, at Dylan Adler, you sound rough. And I was like, oh.
Rough as guts, mate.
rough
like gravel. No, you're okay. You know, I'm good, Dill. What did you get up to on the weekend?
I actually was just here in the studio all weekend. I was here for, Chappelle Power, the hip-hop show.
Yes.
And People Unite, which is the dance, trance, and electro show, which is pretty fun. But aside from that, as you can hear, I'm going through second puberty. So I've just been like resting up and just trying to get my voice back, but it's just not working for me.
You poor little love. 7:05, we've got so much stuff coming up on the show. I was excited when I was driving in to hear about this new HIV PEP treatment, which is kind of like you described the morning after pill for men.
Yeah, well, for when you come in contact with HIV. However, it's actually not new. It's been around since the 1990s.
Mm.
But the exposure and I guess the information surrounding it just hasn't been
accessible or what promoted?
Promoted more than anything else. And I there's just a lot of questions that I'd like to know. I mean, they're saying that it's not an effective treatment.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that because maybe it's not as effective as it otherwise could be, or they've spent the last 10 years potentially developing it to become...
Well, it's always developing, and I guess because, you know, the HIV virus can, you know, it can grow and it can change. It can adapt to certain medications as well. So I guess it would be quite difficult to try and come up with, you know, a treatment for it. But I suppose that's what our guest, who's coming on just after, well, probably about 7:15, he'll be talking about this treatment because he's actually a doctor.
And he's also a healthy bear.
He is a very healthy bear. We've got Dr. George Fogan-Smith, also known as
the
Healthy Bear, who has an online vlog and blog.
Cool. What's a vlog? What's an online vlog?
A vlog, like a video blog.
So
He has all these like videos about like gay men's sexual health and gay men's health.
Particularly in the bear community or in general?
In general. It's quite a wide topic.
Very cool. What else do we have coming up on the show? You're the one that's prepared because Vic, who can't be with us tonight, prepared some of the info and I think you do the notes though. I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah, I put together all the running sheet, but Vic is the one who gets together our articles, and I just want to say I am so jealous of Vic.
So am I. I heard she's going to Europe.
Yep, she's going to Greece for 3 weeks of tomorrow.
I remember doing that when I was 21, partying on the islands, just in bikinis, drinking pina coladas. It really is the life. I'd rather be in her shoes. But Dill, it's a delight to be with you.
It's wonderful being with
and
you
as well,
and
discussing these very important issues.
Absolutely. This is some pretty critical information. Although right now with this weather, do you know that today was the coldest day so far in Melbourne?
Really? Have we hit winter yet?
Yeah, winter is here.
You know, I did Mondayitis this morning and it was 9 degrees all morning throughout my entire show. It started at 8 degrees, moved up 1, and then we were reaching a top of 16 today. It's not getting past basically 16 this week.
That's awful.
We're in the thick of it, but at least we don't snow like London.
Yeah, true. If it was snowing, I would be a very unhappy camper right now.
You'd be a very sick little bear.
I'd be a very sick little bear. I actually did not get out of bed today. until I had to come in here because I was just like, it is too cold for that.
Well, you've got your Joy 94.9 t-shirt on tonight.
Do you know what? It keeps me warm.
And you've got your curls happening, so you certainly look like you've woken up.
I feel very refreshed, very refreshed.
You're beautified.
And if anyone has anything they'd like to join in the conversation tonight, or if you have any questions specifically aimed at the PEP HIV treatment, feel free to text us on 0427-JOY-949. Shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au, or you can even give Front Desk a call on 1300-JOY-949. Because, you know, take advantage of the fact that we've got a very bearlicious doctor coming onto the show tonight.
He's on his way. He's just outside on his mobile, but he's covered in tats. Like, he's a quintessential bear.
Actually, he does have some pretty rad tats. Sleeves on both arms, people.
Yeah, and a blue... Is it legal to say wife beater still? You know, the blue singlet Bonds t-shirt tops? I don't know.
I think it's a fair description.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hello, listeners. It's Meow Meow, and you're with Thingy on wherever. Welcome to my world.
14 minutes past seven. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by Dylan and Caitlin.
You sure are, Dil? Did you like the little meow meow idea I suggested?
I did like that one. It was very cute. Rather cute.
I know. She's quite sweet, isn't she? She sort of sounds like a fairy.
Yeah, most certainly.
But we've got a guest in the studio.
We most certainly do. Our next guest is Dr. George Fogan-Smith, who you may know as the furry vlogging GP with a wealth of information for gay men and their sexual health. The Healthy Bear has dropped by to talk to us about a treatment designed to lower the risk of HIV after exposure called post-exposure prophylaxis HIV treatment, or PEP treatment for short. Dr. George, thanks for coming by.
That's my pleasure. No worries.
Now, we know that you can become infected with HIV through unprotected sex and blood-to-blood contact. However, there are some activities that have less risk and more risk than others. How exactly does this work?
Well, okay, so you've got virus in your blood and it needs to get into your blood, mm-hmm. or via like a bodily secretion like semen or also breast milk. So basically, if there's less chance of virus getting into your blood, then there's less chance of transmission. Say, for example, receptive anal sex has a higher chance of absorbing the virus into the blood than, say, oral sex or wanking. So,
okay. How does that work? So I guess anal sex over oral sex, why is that?
Well, because bums weren't overly designed to have penises inside them, and it can be a traumatic experience, particularly if you've had sex with multiple partners or an extended session. That can actually lead to edema and swelling of the anal lining, and there can be small micro tears, and it's through those micro tears that the HIV is able to get into the blood.
Okay.
Sort of like with oral sex, the mouth and the pharynx is designed to be constantly, like, you're eating all of the time. So the lining of the pharynx is very, very different to the lining of the anal canal.
True, true. I wouldn't be chewing so much.
Very interesting. But if you had, say, like something like a cold sore, or you'd bitten your lip, I often do that when I'm eating, and then you've got a little cut, what would happen there? There would be likelihood.
Well, that's a risk.
Right.
That's a risk. So the big suggestions are that if you want no risk, then you have oral sex with a condom. If you are happy to accept that there is a very, very, very low risk of HIV transmission with oral sex without a condom and oral sex with ejaculation into the mouth, then it's a theoretical risk.
How about pre-cum?
Pre-cum does contain HIV.
Right.
So, yeah, it's potentially risky as well.
So would you suggest they're not giving head jobs without condoms on, basically?
Look, to be honest, we have to be real. We have to live in the real world. And whilst there are many people that would say to be strict by the guidelines that you must give oral sex with a condom, I don't know anybody that does. And I choose not to use condoms for oral sex. But I don't choose to have people ejaculate into my mouth because it makes me worried. And I say to anybody, if you have sexual behaviour that makes you worry, then you need to either adjust or learn as much as you can about it to understand what the risks are.
But pre-cum, that comes before cum. And then would you be worried if you're having oral sex without a condom?
if I had recently brushed my teeth, had teeth removed, or I had a cold sore or anything like that, then one, I wouldn't be giving people head because that can pass on the herpes virus to the person that I'm giving head to. So I wouldn't do that. But the other thing is that you have to understand that there is risk associated with that. Mm. So it's probably best not to be giving head if you've got cuts or sores in your mouth. Mm. The other thing is if you've got a sore throat, we know that 1 in 20 people in a study that was done out of Club 80, which is one of the sex clubs here in Melbourne, they found that 1 in 20 people either had chlamydia or gonorrhea in their throat without any symptoms. They didn't know about it. So,
oh my God, I have a sore throat.
Uh-oh, Dil, you're infected.
Or it could just be a sore throat. But the thing to be aware of is that if you have a infection in the throat, i.e. syphilis, which you can get in the throat, syphilis or gonorrhea or chlamydia, it makes it much more likely that transmission could happen.
And that's across the board for both sexes, really, because obviously I'm coming at it from a woman's perspective and, mm-hmm. and you know, if you're a gay man, that could affect us both, potentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Interesting.
Now, looking at the PEP treatment itself, how does it actually lower the risk to infection?
Well, there's a number of factors that come into that. We need to know about what the exposure has been. And there's actually an algorithm that doctors will go through. So if you have had an exposure, say, for example, receptive anal sex with somebody who's known to be HIV positive, then it would be recommended that you go on to what's called PEP or post-exposure prophylaxis. Now, that can either be 2 agents or 3 agents, depending on a number of the risk factors. However, what it is, if it's considered that the risk is high enough, then you will need to go onto a medication that you take for a full month. And, you know, that doesn't come without its risks as well. We know that there have been failures in the post-exposure prophylaxis. It's not perfect. And it's not a guarantee. And for that reason, it's very important that people understand that it's not a morning after pill. It's a significant medical treatment that has side effects and it's not perfect.
What sort of side effects do they have?
There's a number of them, but anything from extreme gut disturbances. A lot of people, if you talk to people who are on HIV treatments, they will say that, you know, that having a normal poo is a wonderful experience because it can cause a lot of gut disturbance, headaches, you can changes in the way that your skin senses stimulation. There's a lot of side effects that come with these particular medications, so they're not perfect either.
Is the course of treatment 1 week or like how long is that sort of drawn out for?
28 days.
Right, so it's sort of a month. It's a month's worth, right?
It's not so much a morning after pill. It's more like a morning and then the morning after and then the morning after that.
For 28 days.
Yeah.
And then the additional testing and the worry and the additional testing at the end of the month and then 3 months later. So, you know, there is... It's not a fun and easy walk in the park.
No, absolutely not. And there are some people who have said that, you know, they have billed it as, you know, the morning after pill. And they've said that, you know, this kind of gives people or puts gay men into the idea that they can have risky sexual behaviours and that they've got to get out of jail free card. Now, given what you've just said there, that it seems to be the other case, that it's not just a get out of jail free card, that there still is a significant risk.
Absolutely. HIV is a very, very significant illness, and people need to acknowledge that. We are now in what's called the post-HART syndrome, the high intensity treatments that are very, very effective. But before that, people my age were dying. People would get Kaposi sarcomas in the brain. They would get PCP pneumonia and die. So there was a lot of really significant illness in people living with HIV. Since the advent of the new treatments, a lot of those things have gone. And people think, oh, it's just a daily pill and it's fine. That's not the case. We know that HIV treatments are associated with accelerated aging processes, accelerated stresses on the body that increase the risk of heart attacks, of strokes, of some forms of cancer as well. So, you know, HIV treatment is no walk in the park. And you talk to people and they say, look, I wish I'd never seroconverted. Unfortunately, if somebody has become infected, you know, there's... lots of supports that we can do, and we can help as much as we can, but it's not nearly as good as not having been infected at the start.
I'm curious, George, what are the government health benefits, I suppose? Are there any rebates or any sort of support that the government shows for the medicines, and looking at it from a more financial perspective for some people?
Officially, I believe that the PEP treatment is not covered by the government. But what will happen is that it's usually dispensed by sexual health services or hospitals. All of the HIV medicines in Australia are dispensed within the hospital system. There's specialised doctors who are called S100 prescribers who are given the training to be able to prescribe these very expensive, very, you know, there's a lot of things you have to consider when you're prescribing these particular medications. And they're very, very expensive. Thankfully, in Australia, we have a government that will contribute towards the cost of these medications in a very significant way. So depending on where you pick up your medicines from, you may have to pay a dispensing fee, or it may be totally free, depending on where you go to. But I think we all need to be aware that there's the cost of the medications, but there's also costs of a variety of other things that come as well, like the higher risk of particular cancers, higher risks of other side effects like heart problems and things like that.
Well, I was actually looking into new HIV infections in Australia and looking at some of them around the world as well. And they're rising. Like in the States, it looks like it's been an 8% increase over the past 10 years. And last year in Australia, there were 100 new infections. Well, that's what they announced in October, which again is another rise. Why do you think, like, I guess in your opinion, why do you think people are putting themselves at risk?
Well, I think we need to look at the statistics. So if you go back to the seroconversion studies of a couple of years ago, the men who were seroconverting were around between the ages of 35 and 45. And now that age is changing. It's changing to younger people. And it has been postulated that some of it is a belief that HIV is an older person's disease. And there's also a belief that worries me is that HIV is a benign disease, that it's not a big deal anymore. You can take a tablet and you're going to be okay. But the problem is that there, you know, each of the tablets comes with its own eccentricities, and you know, it can lead to significant side effects. So you're paying a very big price for the benefits that you get. It's not an easy pathway at all.
And it's still not a cure. People perhaps need to keep that in mind as well. As beneficial as they are, and perhaps as effective as some are, ultimately they're not a cure.
Absolutely.
It's lifelong.
Absolutely. And the other thing is let's get outside of the biology of HIV and let's talk about the sociology of HIV, where people living with HIV are being actively discriminated against. And it's the phone calls that suddenly switch off. It's the conversations with people online after disclosure that just the person disappears and stops talking to them the minute they disclose that they're HIV positive. And I think in a lot of this, I've always had two important sort of balancing acts when I talk about HIV. It's that first, that we need to help people not become infected, but we also have to support the people who are infected. And a lot of people get frustrated when they talk about vaccines and they talk about cures, and they've had friends that have passed away or they're currently living with complications of HIV. And I think it's very, very important that we care for these people as well. It's, you know, we've got to get away from the stigma of HIV, and we have to support people that are living with HIV.
Are there services in Melbourne? You said there's opening up in Peran. There is a HIV testing centre, which is sort of fast-tracking results. But will they also provide sort of counselling services and things like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Anytime that there's HIV testing, there has to be significant counselling, because the result is dependent on a number of factors around it. Say, for example, you had an exposure to HIV yesterday. The likelihood of a test coming back positive is negligible, zero, because your body will need to go through a variety of processes. And this is where PEP comes in that we're trying to stop the virus before it gets into the immune system. And that's where PEP works, is that it blocks the virus's ability to replicate and to really propagate within the body. So we know that it can take up to 3 months for a person to show the biological evidence in the blood, antibodies, of a HIV infection. Mm. With the rapid testing, what we can say is that the window period is closed down to a much smaller period of, say, 12 days, because it tests for antibodies of HIV, which is the body's response to the infection, but it also tests for a protein that's created by the body early in HIV infection. Mm. So we can sort of pick an early infection a lot earlier, say 12 days. But if the exposure's been less than 12 days, then the test is not very useful at that point.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Dr. George.
Where, no worries.
Are you able to stick around just for a little bit longer? Because we do have just a couple more questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, Dr. George, what a superstar. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy 94.9 is you and me.
Joy 94.9 is powered by volunteers, bringing you GLBTIQ radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Without these volunteers, we wouldn't be here. We thank our volunteers for the effort day in, day out, especially during our recent 2013 Radiothon.
Thanks to Joy sponsor VAC GMHC for their continued support of the station and our volunteers. The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre knows the importance of volunteers and is proud to support the Joy Radiothon 2013 volunteer team. I said a Joy
94.9. The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
It's 7:30 and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by Adele, Caitlin and the healthy bear himself, Dr. George Fogansmith, talking about PEP HIV treatment. We're just finishing up just this amazing interview with some really, really critical information that I think definitely needs to be heard. Now, one thing that we're talking about just before those announcements was the cost of HIV treatment. Now, you were saying it is quite expensive. Do you have any idea how expensive the average treatment is?
For example, one of the more common treatments is you will always be on three agents if you're being treated for HIV. You will be on three agents, sometimes four, depending on the resistance pattern of your particular virus.
And is that because the HIV virus can become resistant to certain medications? So you're going to be constantly changing your medication as well?
No, the key is to get onto a medicine that's effective at reducing the amount of virus in the blood until it's not able to be detected. So the key to keeping that non-detected is you need to be very, very vigorous about taking your medicines at the right time and every day. So what the current research is working on is what's the absolute minimum amount of tablets that we can get somebody to take. In the bad old days, it used to be you'd take this tablet three times a day, another tablet four times a day. This one had to be an hour before food. Another one had to be taken with food. So it was really, really confusing. They gave that regime to a group of doctors who treated people with HIV and they weren't able to do it. So now we've got treatments that are really, really good. Say, for example, there's a good medicine called Atripla. It's got three medications in there and it's just one tablet a day. So it's so much easier.
More simple. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would be saying to people, even finishing antibiotics, so many people aren't even able to finish a course of antibiotics.
I was on them recently and I was playing around with them and I thought I regretted this because I've probably now got to do another course. But you've really got to be diligent with things like that. So it's
absolutely
great that, like, with time we've progressed and it's a lot more simple.
Absolutely. And that's the key, is we want to make it as simple and easy for people to be able to stay on medications, because if you miss medications, that's when the HIV virus can mutate and the medicines could become less effective and the virus could start to replicate and the viral load comes up.
And by doing that, would you have created a different strand, or you've made a HIV strand resistant to that medication?
Yes. Yeah, that it could potentially mean that particular version of the virus can no longer be treated with that medicine. So that medicine's out the window and it's done.
So being diligent is really critical. It's essential.
Absolutely.
To the healing or to some recovery. How about lifestyle factors, George? What?
Oh, there's lots of things. I think it's really, really important that we just don't focus on the virus. We focus on so many other things, like getting regular exercise, 30 minutes of physical movement every day, eating really well, 2 pieces of fruit a day, 5 pieces of vegetables. You know, that makes a really big difference. Stopping smoking, that can make a massive difference to people's health, because we know that with the immune system impaired with HIV, that it does enable things like forms of cancer to come up much easier. We know that HIV positive men are at a higher risk of anal cancers. They're at a higher risk of mouth and throat cancers. There are particular types of lymphoma that gay men who are HIV positive are at a higher risk of as well.
So things like a really clean diet. How about if choosing to be a vegan or a vegetarian? Would that be beneficial, or it wouldn't make a difference if you were?
I don't think it's going to make a massive difference. I'd want to make sure that iron intake was very good and that all vitamins were being represented and consumed. But the thing is, like, if I would not want people obsessing too much. Let's make lifestyle as easy as possible for everyone. So it's little things that on a regular basis, say, for example, just, you know, simple stuff like brushing your teeth every day, that can make a massive difference to keeping your mouth nice and healthy. So there's less chances of getting gum infections and things like that. Yeah.
So I guess just wrapping up this conversation here, if someone has been exposed to HIV and is on the PrEP treatment, I guess, is there anywhere they can go in Melbourne that you know of where they can find support, or is there anywhere where they can find more information on the subject?
Absolutely. Well, Melbourne Sexual Health has a really good site. The Victorian AIDS Council has a really good website as well. There's a lot of really good resources available. If you just do a Google search for PrEP treatment. There's a number of websites both in Australia and the USA that have good resources. Gay and lesbian, the hotline is very, very good. There's a 1-800 number, 1-800, I think it's PEP Now, is the magical number to phone. You can speak to people who have experience and understand about PEP. The other thing is to talk to people who are living with HIV. If you have friends that have been that have felt safe enough to share that they're living with HIV, then have a chat with them and talk to them about what it's like and how they've found their journey to be. And to that aim, maybe talking to people at like Positive Living Victoria. They'd be able to give you some really good information. They have some fantastic resources.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us tonight, George. I really, really appreciate that.
No worries.
And if anyone else has anything that they want to hit up The Healthy Bear with, they can check out your website. What is it? www.thehealthybear.com.
Yeah, really quite straightforward.
Sensational. We've actually just got a quick text in before we go away.
Yep.
Hi, I'm a gay male and I have many straight girlfriends who have never heard of PEP. Some involve risky behaviour. Should I refer to them to a health service that I know they'll never go to? Should I impart my limited knowledge of this treatment? Some have never heard of PEP.
Well, if you go to just do a Google search for PEP Australia, and there's a website, I think it was getpep.org.au. I'm just trying to think it off the top of my head because I was just there this afternoon. But a Google search for PEP treatment, there's a couple of really good websites you can get lots and lots of top information on. So that's a great place to go to. And the other thing is go to a medical place where they have good information or the doctors are very knowledgeable about HIV. And within Melbourne, that's Melbourne Sexual Health, Paran Central Clinic, Northside Clinic, they all have good information. I have good information about HIV as well. And I'm able to be found with a simple Google search. So, yeah.
Sensational. Well, thank you so much for coming by. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's 7:45 on Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Dill and Caitlin, and we're about to kick off into Gay School. But before we do that, if you want to join in the conversation, you hear something that we say, and you want to challenge that, well, send us a text on 0427-JOY-949, or you can even shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au. We did have someone text in while we're talking to The Healthy Bear, saying, great show, thank the good doctor for me, Andrew from Thornbury. Well, Andrew, rest assured, we did pass that on to
much appreciated.
Doctor.
And Andrew, you really put a smile on the old bear's dial. He really got a kick out of that. So thanks so much.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Play School.
I talk, the more I feel like I'm going through puberty.
I was going to say, was that a little bit hard for you?
Yeah, it was. I don't know. Let's just play it cool. I was totally fine. I'm awesome.
Getting those vocal cords nice and lubricated. So, Dil, we were reading an article off air, which is called Australian Marriage Equality Says Rudd Better for Reform, which now, basically, this article is saying that Rudd now has come forward in support of gay marriage. He's also anti Tony Abbott and supportive as a backbencher in the Labor Party. What do you think of his sort of very spontaneous support of gay marriage?
Look, I have trouble understanding the motives behind it. Look, I'd love to say that it comes from a place of respect where, you know, maybe he has turned over a new leaf. However, it's really just difficult for me to kind of get over that he was, why this didn't happen while he was Prime Minister.
When he had, I suppose, he was reigning supreme.
Yeah.
He didn't allow the legislation to be changed then, or even, I don't think there was even really a lot of discussion in Parliament about...
No, not at all.
...equalising gay marriage or legalising gay marriage, like they have obviously in New Zealand recently, France, the UK, Canada, I believe also, and Argentina.
And certain states in America as well.
Yeah, with 52 states, they've got a better chance than we do with our states. But what do you... So we now, going forward... Do you think that this is going to push the argument further into Parliament where there is actually like a realistic chance of it passing the legislation?
Well, I think it's touching on that other article we were talking about a couple of weeks ago where it's we want reforms, not rainbows. And I think that this is just going more as just fodder for the conversation rather than any actual implementation of reform. There's no amendment to legislation being put forward. There's no bill being put forward. Essentially, what's going on is that Kevin Rudd, who's former Prime Minister, now a backbencher, has come out and said that he's in support. That's what I've taken from this.
Well, the election is coming up, but they haven't stated any sort of fundamental changes in the legislation for gay marriage. They're not, I suppose, talking about sort of bullet points yet. They're not advertising their campaigning. But this, to me, is a little bit of propaganda, I think, because he's so adamant to have Tony Abbott. He's actually in Canberra tonight, purely there to defend Julia Gillard's position and make sure Tony Abbott doesn't get through.
Yeah.
I think, to me, it smells a little bit of convenient propaganda. Where I think that because he's a backbencher, he can now vocalise that he's supportive of gay marriage and that doesn't really compromise his political position because he's not ultimately in power and he's not going to have the requirement to have a certain percentage of support in Australia to get through over the line. Julia Gillard, on the other hand, and Tony Abbott, they've got that absolute immense pressure coming up to the election to make sure that all of their legislations and all their advertising is what the Australian public ideally want, and we all know that changes once they get into power.
Absolutely. Hey, there's a rapid HIV testing centre which is opening in the Sydney CBD, which for anyone who is unaware of what rapid HIV testing is, it allows us to, well, essentially what it's called, it allows us to test in a much shorter time frame.
So it speaks for itself, rapid HIV testing. It'd be great if they had rapid pregnancy testing, but you can't really do that.
Yeah, that actually would be really handy in certain circumstances.
Absolutely.
When we were talking to the doctor before, he was actually saying that there's a rapid testing now in Paran as well.
Opening up in a month in Paran. Mm. So that's really, really good to know. So they've got this now happening in New South Wales. And for those listening that may be listening interstate or perhaps going up there at some point, it is going to be, it's based in Surry Hills and it's the Sydney Sexual Health Centre. And it's testing for HIV specifically, so that's really good to know.
Yeah, and HIV/AIDS bodies and public health organisations have long pushed for rapid testing to become standard practice in Australia, as it's greatly reduces the waiting time for HIV diagnosis and is commonly used in Europe and the States already.
So they're forward with gay marriage and they're forward with rapid testing. Come on, Australia. No, it's good. It's good. We're making small steps, and it shows like this that we can discuss articles that are actually making, you know, there are changes happening in Sydney. We've got that coming to Prahran in a month. We had Georgian before, the gay bear, and he, you know, like the way the medicines have come in the last decade as well, how far they've come and the effectiveness of all of them. But unfortunately, it's the side effects of HIV long term, which can be harsh.
We have got a message in from Chris via the Joy 94.9 app saying, Rudd is a has-been. We need an attractive leader.
So you're obviously, Chris, not satisfied with Gillard either. Do you know there was a dog's toy made of her? How shocking is that? They were selling it.
That is so disrespectful.
Isn't that? It was shocking. Gosh. It was in the news a month ago, and they were selling it in a Sydney pet store, and it was a dog's toy of Julia Gillard, a little fluffy kind of like. I know. It's just, and you'd never get away with that in America. It wouldn't matter what state you know, even in Texas, the Babel Belt, they wouldn't do that.
Could you imagine if it was a regime, like a dictatorship? That shop would be shut down, and I'm pretty sure something would happen to the owners really quickly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in Korea they wouldn't be copying that. So,
no.
Yeah.
No way.
A little bit too laid back, perhaps, sometimes. Now, I was reading, I know, it's terrible, but we could actually put the image up on maybe like Facebook or something later. There's this Catholic university in Western Australia. I suppose this is about a gay rights group, and a student was denied the right to start a group that supported things like abortion, women's rights, and same-sex marriage. Now, the thing is, it come to my attention. This is a Catholic university, and I think that, unfortunately, part of the Catholic faith, I'm Catholic, I was raised Catholic, that same-sex marriage, obviously, and abortion, really convention, like old school Catholics don't agree to that. So you can kind of understand in a sense why.
Yeah, look, I think with organisations like religious bodies, I do think that there should be some leeway given in the sense that they should be able to practice what they preach. However, I don't think that, I think this is where the government really needs to have a strict line and have like a black or a white answer.
They can do that in church, but perhaps with universities, they need to have a little bit more leeway, do you think? Because it's a socialist issue as well at a university.
Absolutely. And not accept government funding as well. If they're going to be able to deny that and deny someone basic rights or something that I guess like an ordinary university would not do, then they can't accept the same money that the other university would. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're saying there does need to be some sort of, I guess, defining reason as to why they wouldn't be allowed to have groups like this if other universities can as well. And the other universities potentially could be Catholic as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does seem sad, though, for this student who was Alex Kemp, wanted to start an on-campus socialist alternative student club in March and was told 5 weeks later that the proposed club was being denied affiliation because it would support same-sex marriage. Dill's just stepped outside the studio. The poor little sausage is coughing because of his sterile sore throat. So just bear with us. He's back on air. Welcome back, Dill.
Thank you. Thank you. I just needed a moment. Oh, my God, my eye's watering.
Hey, I was ranting to myself there.
Oh, it was a wonderful rant. No, I did hear it.
No, I don't think so.
I read this article and it just kind of excited me a lot. The Convicts Bear All In fundraiser. So the gay rugby team from Sydney, the Sydney Convicts, will be bearing all to raise funds ahead of their hosting the Bingham Gay Rugby Cup next year. And if anyone has, like, I don't know about you guys, I love rugby. I'm from up north.
When originally, is that why?
Yeah,
right.
I'm a northerner. I'm from Queensland.
Rugby's
so
in your blood.
It's in my blood.
You'd never fully convert to AFL. Are you loyal to rugby?
I am loyal to rugby. I do like AFL. I mean, when the players start, they start cute and then they finish cute as well. Whereas the
and
rugby,
they finish very rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do they get paid as well in rugby up north?
I think they do get paid quite a lot. I mean, you look at Melbourne Storm where they had the salary breaching cap where they were paying their some people like $6 million.
Yeah, I think there's probably been issues of that aren't spoken as much in AFL, but I'm sure that goes on for particularly wealthy clubs. Anyway.
Well, you need to pay your staff high if they're
I don't know enough about sport to talk about that, so I'm not going to rant on about that.
Well, the Sydney Convicts, they're taking off their gear to raise money for, you know, and to support. They're hosting the Bingham Gay Rugby Cup, which is the World Cup. As this is going to be against other gay rugby teams from around the world, and it's going to be hosted in Sydney. In fact, with the bid for the Sydney Convicts, when they were saying that we want Sydney to be hosting it, Prime Minister Julia Gillard actually got in support. She'll support us hosting the Gay Rugby Cup, but she won't support us getting married.
That's a little bit strange. Did anyone say to her, what's your reason for being here? Is there someone in this team that you know that you personally want to support?
Yeah.
That's a little bit strange.
But not them getting married, my sweets.
Oh, well, maybe she just supports gay men that are really big and thick and toned and want to run around a lot.
Don't we all?
I don't blame her, to be honest. If you don't know their sexuality, it really doesn't matter.
Exactly. And sometimes it's just good to have a nice perv. But hey, we've run out of time. It's hit that 5 minutes to eight mark. Up next is World Wide Wave. And they'll be talking, I'm fairly certain, about Cambodia, but I've been wrong in the past. So you'll find that out. You don't want to go anywhere. We'll see you next week.
Hi, guys. It's Johnny Jenkins, a.k.a. Fat Gay Kid. I'm super famous for being super talented on YouTube. And you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.